Blog Talk Radio.
Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, presents Mush, You Huskies, a show about dog-powered sports and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Mush, You Huskies, is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto and hosting live from Palmer, Alaska. We have on the line, calling in from Anchorage himself, he is the co-host for our annual Iditarod coverage during the Iditarod. His name is Alex Stein. He's also a filmmaker of Mush, the movie. Alex, long time no hear. How's it going?
It's going great, Robert. You know, I'm up here in Anchorage, and it was really overcast and cold this morning, and I was beginning to regret my decision not to bring a jacket up here with me from Southern California. And then all of a sudden, the sun came out, and it was really, really warm. And now I am very happy with the fact that I thought ahead to bring some sunblock.
You know, this is a very uncommon summer for us here up in Alaska. I have heard from people that have lived here most of their lives that we don't have summers like this very often. I think it's only rained just a few times here in the Natsu Valley. We got a pretty good thunderstorm last night, but otherwise we have had this type of summer all summer long. It's been absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's interesting because there have been a couple of times where it's been significantly warmer in Anchorage and up in Willow where you live than it has been in Southern California where I live, which seems like the entire world is upside down.
You know, I think it has something to do with Al Gore and that global warming theory. I have no idea, but I'm looking forward to some winter snow and some mushing. And, of course, that's what we're talking about today. I understand you're in Alaska to promote your movie, Mush the Movie, that has been out for a couple of years now. It was on the local PBS station here during Iditarod. Give some folks some information about where you're going to be this weekend and how they can see the movie.
Sure. I'm going to be at the Balto Film Festival, which is being held in Seward, which is, I guess, about 2 hours south of Anchorage. And this is the second year for this festival. It is a festival that is designed to highlight movies made in Alaska or movies made by Alaskans. And although I like to think of myself as an Alaskan, I actually technically do not live here. So, but Mush the Movie was filmed entirely in Alaska in various parts of the mushing world and in various stops along the Iditarod, except for about 10 seconds that were filmed in Los Angeles. So,
Go ahead.
I'm very happy to be able to show the movie in front of a live audience again. It premiered a couple years ago at the Anchorage International Film Festival, which of course is in the dead of winter in December. So this is going to be a little bit of a different experience, but I'm happy to be able to share it with Alaskans. I know there are a lot of fans of the Iditarod and fans of dog mushing in and around Seward. So I'm hoping they will come out. It's showing tomorrow night, which is Saturday the 27th at 9 p.m. And I'll be doing a Q&A afterwards.
What a better fit for Mush the Movie than to be at the Balto Film Festival. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, when I had not heard of the Balto Film Festival, and a friend of mine mentioned it to me, and then I submitted the film, and I sent them a note also, and I said, well, given that Balto was one of the one of the hero dogs in the serum run in 1925, it seems like this would be an obvious film for you to show, and they agreed. So it's showing there. There are a bunch of other films that are showing there tomorrow night as well. Starting at 6:30, there are, I think, four or five short films that are in competition, and they're showing, and then they're showing Mush at 9. This is at the UAF Marine Sciences Building in Seward. So don't go up to Fairbanks to see it. It's actually in Seward at the KM Ray Building.
Very cool. You know, Alex, before we get into talking about the movie itself, you know, I like to do some behind-the-scenes stuff and find out how things work, especially how filmmaking works. How does it exactly come to be where a film is entered into a particular festival? Obviously, people know the big ones like Sundance and others like that, but how does a film like yours get to be included in a relatively small festival like this one in Seward?
Well, with the case of this one in Seward, I was not actually looking to put it in more festivals at the moment, but I heard about this festival, and it seemed like it was a really good match, not only because of the title, but also because of the focus on Alaskan films and Alaskan filmmakers. I welcome the chance to show this movie anytime in Alaska, because I think that although I'm not technically an Alaskan, or maybe I should say I'm not technically an Alaskan yet, I strove very hard to make sure that it had a real Alaskan sensibility. And in particular, one of the things I've always loved about Alaska in general, and the Iditarod as well, is that there is a real strong spirit here of people seeing opportunities to do things and deciding that they are just going to do them, even though the tasks that they often seek to accomplish are either difficult or perhaps borderline impossible. But I'm very inspired by the fact that people do not let that stop them. Particularly with the Iditarod, the idea of taking 16 dogs and a sled and some equipment that you drop along, you know, and food you drop along the trail, and going 1,000 miles in, you know, 9 or 10 days is just a ridiculous thing to do, especially in the middle of the winter when the temperatures are often below, you know, 50, 60, 70 below zero and there's strong winds. That's a pretty challenging thing to want to do. And yet, as we know, people who love dogs and who love dog-powered sports, that is the pinnacle. You know, doing the Iditarod or doing the Yukon Quest is just something that everyone always strives for.
Totally agree. That's why we're here. And for folks that are listening, I want to pardon the noise. We are in a coffee shop here in Palmer, so there is quite a bit of ambient noise behind us, so hopefully it doesn't drown us out too much. But, Alex, you know, you and I have become pretty fast friends over the last few years. We met for the first time at that premiere at the Anchorage Film Festival a couple of years ago, and now here you are hosting the annual Iditarod coverage. You've done that with me for 2 years now here on Mushing Radio, and you plan to come up and visit our kennel for the first time on Sunday. What else is happening in your schedule this weekend? I'm sure you're trying to catch up with some folks here and there in the short time you're up here.
Yeah, you know, I now am very fortunate that I have a lot of friends in Alaska, and I'm trying to see a bunch of them. I'm very excited to come up and see your kennel and to meet your dogs and spend some time with them. You know, our friend Cindy Abbott, who ran the Iditarod last year, I don't know if you've run into her lately, but I have a feeling she's going to be around quite a lot because she's running one of Vern Halter's teams and in the Iditarod next year. So, you know, I'm excited to be up in Willow. It's going to be strange for me. I don't know if I told you this or not. I realized that although I've been to Alaska a whole bunch of times, I literally have never been here in the summer before. And that might strike some people as very strange because it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful and amazing in the summer. here in Alaska. I have to say, though, it's really crowded. There are a lot of tourists. When I flew in, I was totally unprepared for how many people there were at the airport where I could barely move, that it, there were so many people flying in. So it's a bit of a change for me. On the other hand, I got in at about 12:30, and although the sun had technically set, there was still a lot of ambient light. So it was very nice to be, to be leaving the airport at 12:30 or 1 in the morning and have it still be fairly light. I'm used to flying in and, you know, coming in here in February or March when there's just not very much light at all. You know, the sun will come up around 10 or so, and then we'll set in the early afternoon. And I can understand why Alaskans try to pack as much outdoor stuff as possible into these few months, because it is really amazing and just as beautiful now as it is in the winter, only, you know, not quite as much snow, so it's a little bit easier to get around.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting that you talked about the traffic and the tourists. It's literally rush hour on the highway up towards Willow and points north. Lots and lots of RVs, lots and lots of boats and campers and the whole nine yards, people making their way up towards Denali. So it is definitely a different feel here in the summertime than it is in the winter, but you got to love it. You got to love the weather here. It's not 100 degrees like it is in some of the parts in the lower 48, and you can actually enjoy the time outdoors, where in some places you just can't, can you?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I grew up in a college town, and it's sort of the reverse thing where in a college town it totally empties out in the summer, and there's something very nice about being able to be in a beautiful place when there aren't a lot of people there. And yet when all of the students can't come back, there's something, you know, it's a bit of a pain at first, but there's something very nice about that as well. And I imagine that for a lot of places in Alaska, which are very which rely very heavily on the money that tourism brings in, it must be sort of a mixed blessing to have the heavy tourist season in the summer.
We're talking to Alex Stein here on Mushing Radio, a pretty quick add to our schedule today. He is here in Alaska to have his film, Mush the Movie, aired at the Balto Film Festival in Seward. I understand you're the headliner of the deal tomorrow night, a 9 p.m. slot. That's like being a rock star, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there will be any groupies, though. There may be some people bringing their dogs, which is, you know, for me, which is just as good. So I'm really looking forward to it. I actually have never been to this particular festival since it's only the second year. But I've heard good things about it. I'm looking forward to it. I have some friends of mine whom I've met at the Anchorage Film Festival in the past couple of years, who also have films that are being shown, so I'm looking forward to those. The festival, obviously you should go tomorrow night and see my movie, but it also continues on Sunday, and there are films showing Sunday afternoon as well. They also have a 48-hour film challenge where they give people three topics that I believe are going to be announced this evening, and then they have 40 hours to write, shoot, edit, and submit a short film of up to, I think, 5 or 6 minutes long, and then they'll give out prizes for that Sunday night.
Very cool. Alex, we have about 10 minutes left or so here live on Mushing Radio. I don't know if we've told this story before on Mushing Radio or your interviews on our sister show Dogworks Radio, but I don't know if I know what gave you the bug to do a film about mushing and about the Iditarod. You know, a guy from California, the sunny climes of California. How in the world did you catch this mushing bug, and you're still coming up here, you know, gasping for whatever you can to be a part of this mushing lifestyle? You know, it's a very interesting story, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I'd been aware of the Iditarod for a while, and I was vaguely aware of it when I was growing up, and I unfortunately missed the heyday of the Susan Butcher era, which you know, which would have been very nice to have been really following the sport closely at that time, but I wasn't. I started getting into it in a serious way about 11 or 12 years ago when the Team Norway was so dominant, the Robert Sorleys and the Cadel Beckham era. And that was around the time that Iditarod Trail Committee started doing a big social media push, and it became much easier to follow the race online. And at the time, there also were some national TV shows that were following the Iditarod. The more I found out about it, the more interested I was in it, and I started reading every book that I could read about mushers and biographies of mushers and books about the race itself. And the more I found out about it, the more fascinated I was by the fact that this is a very, very large event. It feels a lot of times like the world is getting smaller and smaller. Something happens literally on the opposite side of the world, and we know about it almost instantly. But in that kind of a world, the Iditarod as a totality is still something that is gigantic and inspirational and hard to really wrap your head around. So the more I found out about it, the more interested I was in it. And, of course, the coverage of the Iditarod at the time, and I think this is still mostly true, tended to focus on three or four of the top teams and the competition between those. But as we know, most years there will be 70 or more teams competing. So there's a lot of the race that really wasn't being covered. And then at the same time, I started learning more and more about how the race itself ran. And I read, there's a fantastic book that June Price wrote called Backstage Iditarod, which is about how the race comes together and all of the volunteers. I came up for the start of the race and witnessed a lot of these things that were going on and thought to myself, there is clearly a movie in this, in the part of this that isn't being covered. And I was so sure that someone was going to be doing that movie that I didn't do anything for a couple of years. And then I realized that it didn't seem like anybody else was going to make a movie about the parts of the Iditarod that were fascinating to me. So I decided that I really wanted to see that movie, and therefore I should make it.
So were you a filmmaker before MUSH, or what were you doing, up to lead up to it? You know, a lot of people find that passion, and the next thing you know, it takes 110% of their day. What were you doing before this madness of the Iditarod, it consumed you?
Well, you know, I'd worked in the film industry in a variety of capacities. I was a story consultant and a story analyst. I worked as a development executive. I did some script doctoring. I wrote for a couple of cable television shows. And I had made a couple of short films, and I had directed one documentary previous to this. So I had a pretty good understanding of a lot of how the basics worked, and then foolishly decided that this meant that I should just come up here and make a movie about the Iditarod. And then I realized that not only was the race much bigger than I had thought, but the idea of making a movie about it was much bigger than I had thought. And then that was coupled with the fact that I basically didn't have any money to do this, and I had hoped to have some investors who were going to give me money for it, but that didn't work out, and I found myself with basically no money to do this movie 6 weeks before the race started, and this was sort of at the depth of the economic recession. And I thought, you know, I don't know that things will be that much better a year from now. Maybe I should just figure out what sort of things I want to have in the movie and get myself to the places where I can capture those things and then put it together. And so with a lot of faith that I could make this work, I just came up and did it. And most of the time, I was the entire crew. There were a couple times where I had another person help me, but most of the time it was just me. And that's exhausting. And then I came back and I spent about 6 months editing it. Wasn't sure for 5.5 of those 6 months that it actually would come together and be a movie. But then in the last 2 weeks, I realized this is really something and was able to put it together in a way that I'm really, really proud of. Looking back on it now that it's been a couple years since I did this, I've realized something very important, which is if I'd had a lot more money, the post-production would have been faster. It would have been a little bit slicker. But in terms of the tone and the content that I wanted to get, I think I ended up with exactly what had originally inspired me to do this movie. And so I'm very, very happy about that.
You know, everything I've ever heard from folks that have seen the movie, and I was one of the first of the group that saw it, not only at the film festival, but I was given a preview part of it before it ever went on sale, and we got to take a chance to preview it. It's an excellent film, and it's one of those films that can withstand the test of time. You know, yes, there's different mushers in the race every year, but it tells a story about the Iditarod that is almost timeless. Do you agree?
Well, first, thank you, and second, yes, I agree. You know, that was absolutely what my goal was in making this. I should mention before we totally run out of time that it did show as part of on PBS in Alaska as part of their spring fundraising thing, and some people bought copies of it there. It's also for sale on mushthemovie.com. So if people are interested in getting it there, they can order it there. I have a few copies that I brought up with me, so if anyone comes to see it tomorrow night, just come and see me, and I'll gladly sell one to you. I'm just, you know, I think it's a really, it's an oddly personal movie, given that I've never actually been on a sled running dogs, but it is something that I'm really very, very proud of.
Hold on for a second. So you've made a movie and you've never been on a dog sled?
No. I've been in the bag on a dog sled, but I've never been on
okay.
the runners.
Well, I think that
we're going to fix this.
We're going to have to schedule you a time to come back up here in the winter and at least get you on a dog sled and give you that thrill of just riding behind that power and report back on that to all of your fans. You know, a couple of more questions, Alex, before we run out of time. You had mentioned that you didn't have very, very much money when you made this film. What was the budget for this? How much did it cost from the beginning to the end, from the idea from the time it started to where you're at today? What kind of budget are we looking at? You know, a lot of people think that this was a multi-thousand dollar venture, but it wasn't, was it?
Yeah, you know, it was, when all was said and done, I think the budget was around $5,000, which is certainly a very, very small, you know, even people who make relatively small documentaries will routinely spend $50,000 or $100,000. I have a friend who made a 12-minute film that was in the Anchorage Film Festival last year, and it's a fantastic film, and it looks amazing, and he spent $160,000 on it. And I
wow.
said to him, I could have made my movie 32 times for that.
So if we can delve into that just a little bit, Alex, yours was made for about $5,000, and obviously it got the point across and is doing very well in terms of
praise from the folks that watch it. What does the person hope to gain from a very short film, like you said, 12 minutes or so, and spending over $100,000? What's that person trying to gain from that? Because obviously it's not like a movie where you go to the theater and you buy tickets and there's residuals from that. What are folks trying to gain from a budget like that?
A lot of people make shorts in hopes that someone will be impressed enough with it that they will let them direct a feature. So I think when most people are making shorts, especially when they're spending a lot of money on shorts, they are absolutely looking for it to be a stepping stone for them to do something else. Unless you happen to have $160,000, lying around, usually that involves getting a lot of grant money and getting spending a lot of time on raising that money. You could argue, well, you could make a feature for $160,000, and if you're going to spend, 2 years raising the money, maybe you would be better off making a feature. I can see an argument for that as well.
So do a lot of, obviously I'm thinking about all of the film festivals out there and all of the budding filmmakers out there. I mean, YouTube is full of them. Do a lot of them get those gigs that they're looking for? Is it, just one of those things that people just kind of fall into that passion, and the next thing their credit cards are maxed out and they've got a film, but they still don't have necessarily a job as a filmmaker?
That is definitely true. It's a very, very competitive thing. If you think about how many studio movies are made per year, it's a few dozen. And then if you take that back, if you expand that to, how many movies are made that aren't necessarily studio movies, but are made where there's, a large enough budget so that it's not a micro-budgeted movie, that's still a small amount.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very, very competitive and very difficult business. I feel sometimes like people get into it for the wrong reasons, that they get into it not because they have a burning passion to tell stories or to make particular kinds of movies, but they get into it because they think it's cool or they want to do something that's slick and costs millions and millions of dollars. I would love for someone to give me millions and millions of dollars, but I'd still want to use it for something that I'm very passionate about.
Well, I think you hit that right on the nail right on the head there, Alex. You have you filmed this movie 2 or 3 years ago now from beginning to end, but you're still very passionate about it. You're still going around to film festivals 2 or 3 years later, obviously still somewhat to Alaska to talk about your movie. You were on PBS, as you mentioned, just this past March. You and I host the Mushy Radio. So it's something that does have some residual value to you. It may not be dollars, but it's still thriving that passion, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think that was one of the things that really attracted me to the Iditarod is realizing that this is a large group of thousands or tens of thousands of people who are all passionate about something. And that includes the mushers who are, who are struggling to get sponsorship and raise their entry fee and buy their dog food so that they can run the Iditarod. It includes all the people who watch and listen to the Iditarod Insider things online, the people who come up to Alaska on their own dime to volunteer for the race. There is something about dog mushing and about the Iditarod in particular that really inspires people who are passionate and people who want to dream big. And every time I talk to or spend time with one of those people, I feel energized and inspired. And if I, when I made the movie, I thought to myself, if I can capture any of this and let that come through to someone watching it, then I'll have done a really good job.
Alex, we're about out of time, but I'm going to let this roll over for just a few minutes.
folks can hear the entire thing online at dogworksradio.com or mushingradio.com. What has been the response to the film? Not necessarily from the mushing community or people that are involved with the sport at all, but just the lay public. What do they think about Mush, the movie?
You know, it's interesting. When the movie's been shown outside of Alaska, people have a million questions about the Iditarod itself and about, you know, technical things about dog mushing, such as are you allowed to switch dogs in and out, which obviously you're not. But people want to know all sorts of things about the Iditarod. When I show the film in Alaska, generally people already know about the Iditarod or they have some exposure to it. So their questions are all about how the movie was made and technical things about the filmmaking. But in general, to answer your question, because I realize that sometimes you ask me something and I start answering it, but then veer off and never quite answer the question you asked. But to answer your question, when it's been shown, the reaction has been very, very positive. I think that people respond to the spirit of the movie and to the way it captures the excitement and the spirit of the race. And I've had my favorite thing that anyone said to me is after the premiere in Anchorage, someone said to me, "I can't believe that this movie was made by someone who's not an Alaskan." And I thought that was one of the highest pieces of praise that I could get.
And we're still trying to get you up here. When you and I spoke about a year and a half ago or so, we said, we need to get you that 907 phone number, even if it's a prepaid throwaway phone. I still see your
exactly.
Phone 310 phone number.
Exactly. That's going to happen sooner or later.
When you're here, just stop by Target or Walmart, pick up one of those throwaway phones and sign up for it while you're here this weekend.
Okay. is that what they call on the wire, a burner phone? I get one of those untraceable prepaid cell phones?
That's right, but at least you can set up a business card, Alex, and say that you have an office in Alaska and an office in Los Angeles. I think that would give you some street cred as a filmmaker for Alaskan films. What do you think?
I think so too, and I'm gonna, as soon as I hang up the phone with you, I'm going to Target. I'm gonna go to Target and get some popcorn and one of those cell phones.
There you go. So before we go, Alex Stein, filmmaker of Mush the Movie, also my co-host on Mushing Radio during the Iditarod, but also he is going to be in Seward this weekend, Saturday night at 9 p.m. the Balto Film Festival, where you can see Mush the Movie. There will also be a Q&A afterwards. Alex, do you have any other details? Is there a website, a phone number that you may know for people to call? Do you know how much tickets are? And also, can you tell us where it's going to be played at one more time?
Yeah, it is. There's a Facebook page, which is, if you just search for Balto Film Festival, that's probably the best way to find it. There's also, I believe it's BaltoFilmFest.com is the website. The movie is showing at the UAF Marine Sciences K.M. Ray building, and there are movies. There are shorts showing beforehand, starting at 6:30. I believe this is free. I have not been able to confirm that, but there's nothing about buying tickets on there, so I think it might be free.
Very good. So, Alex, we're going to make sure that we upload this show very quickly on our website, and I'm going to pass you over the links to you so you can put it on, the Iditarod Facebook page and all of your other links so we can get out the word very quickly. You're going to be on the screen in about 28 hours or so. So hopefully some folks that are listening to us, at least here in Alaska, can come down and see the film. And if they can't, at least they got a heck of an interview about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff from my good buddy, the host of Mushing Radio during Iditarod. Anything else you want to say before we close? And if not, I'll definitely see you Sunday up at our place.
Yeah, I just want to do a couple very, very quick plugs. MushTheMovie.com. There's also a Facebook page for Mush the Movie. On a slightly unrelated topic, I just published a book of essays, which is called No, Mr. Bond, I Expect Your Dreams to Die. That's available on Amazon. And just chat me up on Facebook, and I'll tell you all about it. Any listeners, and please come see the movie tomorrow night in Seward at 9 p.m. There will be a Q&A. Stop by and say hi, and I would love to see any and all of the Dogworks Radio listeners there tomorrow night.
Very cool. Alex, I'll see you in a couple days, all right?
Okay. Thanks very much, Robert. It's been a pleasure as always, and I feel like I don't say this often enough, but one of the most fun things that I have done in the past couple of years is to co-host the Iditarod coverage with you.
Thank you very much. I highly enjoy it myself. One of these years, you're going to have to do it on your own when I'm running the race myself.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on Sunday.
There you go. Alex Stein, folks, the filmmaker, writer, and director for Mush the Movie. We'll get these links up as soon as we can. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Thanks.